Looking back on the recent film festival, the most thought-provoking offering was The East, about a former FBI agent who infiltrates an eco-terrorist group on behalf of a private security firm. As mealtime comes round on her first night with the group, she's told to put on a straitjacket as the compulsory dinner dress for the occasion. Everyone else turns up around the dinner table similarly attired, and she's then invited to demonstrate the appropriate way to eat, given the limitations of not being able to use her hands. Hesitantly and with difficulty, she picks up the spoon between her teeth and ladles the food into her bowl. But that apparently was the wrong thing to do. She's failed the test, and the group now demonstrates the correct modus operandi. Dipping into the serving bowl, they turn to their neighbours so that each can drink from the other's spoons in turn. Members of the early church would have instantly understood what was going on here. The habitual rituals of table fellowship were reinforcing intense group solidarity and the putting of the needs of others first. The members of the group were changing their self-perceptions and the way they thought about each other by changing the way they arranged their affairs of daily living, particularly when it came to that basic human need, the daily intake of nutrition. The advice Jesus gives in this morning's gospel is not about avoiding social shame and pushy social climber behaviour, but it's rather about the table etiquette at the community meals that is such a central part of his own ministry. He practices open table fellowship without regard to the distinctions of who is on side or offside with the tightly regulated norms of a shame-honour culture. The religion of his day was good at reinforcing the group solidarity of a people living under foreign rule, except for those who couldn't or wouldn't keep the full requirements of the religious law, and so were excluded from the acceptance world of warmth and care. The first followers of Jesus picked up on the priority of this open table fellowship and allowed it to revolutionize the internal dynamics of their house churches. They were hospitable to strangers, to visitors, and above all to one another. Such generous hosting of community meals were a welcome signal to newcomers and something of a recruiting strategy. We might recall from last year's Agape banquet here at St. Peter's that the Eucharist we're now celebrating took place originally in the context of the Love Feast in the middle of the Sunday community meal. What we're doing now in this act of worship reflects the formalization of that recalling of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the lifting out of that central component of the Love Feast and the making of it a thing apart. Of course, the organising of these community meals was not without its problems, which is why St. Paul gives some very astringent advice to the Corinthian church about not allowing class distinctions, spiritual elitism, and inequalities of wealth and poverty distort the central gathering of the assembly with downright selfish human behaviour. Above all, the communal meal helped to generate a new perception of this kind of community. They thought of themselves as a family, which is why they referred to one another as brothers and sisters, a descriptor that occurs 271 times in the New Testament and occurs in every New Testament book except that of Titus and Jude. Of course, strictly speaking, that wasn't true. But the fiction that the brother and sister you spent time with at the weekly Love Feast was as important to you, maybe even more important than your blood relatives, spoke volumes about the importance of the group you'd now joined. What was more, this wasn't just the equivalent of a New Age commune which was into group solidarity and kumbaya moments. You had now become the younger brother or sister of Jesus, the head of the family, who ruled over this community from table, font, and pulpit. The description of the Christian community as a family was also a way of talking about its strong sense of belonging, a sense of belonging so strong that it overcame the old hostilities of a deeply divided Mediterranean world. Open table fellowship with people who came from backgrounds you'd been brought up to fear and despise was a powerful way of breaking down the wall that divided Jew from Gentile and every other kind of opposed group you might care to mention. By sharing the deep things of Christ, you had found a reason to link up with and find new value in people who were not comfortably part of your accustomed world. And Jesus himself had reordered his personal world in this way by those famous words, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." And of course, being a part of this new family was to experience the possibility of hostility from one's former family or from outsiders in general. There was a price tag to joining this acceptance world of warmth, care, and new meaning. In this last generation of the church's life, house groups and house churches have become a standard part of the way churches work and of what they have to offer. Sometimes that's because it's the only form of church that's possible. Bishop Kelvin, in assessing what has become of some of our rural parishes, says that they've now become so small that they are in effect a house church meeting in a church building. But in most cases, these smaller forms of Christian community have emerged out of what Paul Tribilco, here at Otago, describes as a search for intimacy and care and a turn away from what they, their members, see as irrelevant institutions more concerned with their own perpetuation than with propagating the faith. The situation in which we now find ourselves is so different to that of the first generation of believers. But the need to put hospitality, care of others, a strong sense of family feeling into our church life is just as important for us as it was for them. And we have a lot to learn from the early Christians' generativity and originality in the way they ordered their life around open table fellowship and unique forms of solidarity. This is why spring bus trips and other new initiatives and social belonging in parish life matter. Being a Christian isn't just about turning up to church on Sunday. It's helpful and important to belong to the household of faith in other ways too. There too Christ is met and known in the sister and brother for whom he died and in whose life he is located in a unique way, particular to that person. When we break bread with them, we meet him too. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.